So basically, one of our clients was able to get, he's a construction company, so we put all of his subcontractors, payroll, and then construction costs into another company with a fiscal year end. We're able to get him a $15 million deferral over the course of several years.
How much?
$15 million.
$15 million.
Yeah, and so we basically, he was in California. We work all over the U.S., but the California examples are fun because California sucks on the tax side of things. Yeah. So we were able to get him a $7.5 million interest-free loan that he used to fund real estate, and now he has over $25 million of assets paid for free and clear with money that he would have thrown to the IRS.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. When I ain't too close, it's Joe Schmo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both. Even do this, word.
Before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to personally thank the incredible sponsors who helped make it possible for us to film this episode in Kenya. Jonathan's Restaurant, Royal Bakery, Frozen Cow, The Pest Rangers, Elevation Wellness, Red's Barbershop, Axelrad, The Cattle Agency, and PA Inclusive. I also want to express my deepest gratitude to my family and friends, whether you supported this journey financially or just cheered me on every step of the way. Your support doesn't just keep the show going. It helps us bring these important stories to life and share them with the world. This episode is brought to you by Anthracite Pallet Solutions. Need reliable, durable pallets to keep your business moving? At Anthracite Pallet Solutions, we specialize in new and used 48x40 wooden pallets. Whether you're shipping, storing, or stacking, we offer high-quality pallets that keep your operations running smoothly. With our own fleet of trucks and trailers, we deliver on time, every time. And if warehouse space is a concern, our drop trailer services have you covered. From custom orders to large-scale deliveries, we're here to meet your every need with top-notch customer service and unbeatable prices. We're currently shipping within 2 hours of Scranton, Pennsylvania, including Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Maryland. Call us today at 570-606-9206 or inquire online at anthracitepallet.com and let us handle your pallet solutions. Anthracite Pallet Solutions, built to last. Designed to move. This episode is brought to you by the Pest Rangers. Finding insects in your home can be a real pest. I know I felt that way when I discovered termites living rent-free in my house. But thanks to the team at the Pest Rangers, I'm no longer bugging out over this issue. So if any creepy crawlers are cramping your style, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You gotta call the Pest Rangers. For more information on how to rid your home from unwanted pests, call the Pest Rangers today at 570-826-1114, or visit them online at thepestrangers.com. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal, and all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine.
One of the things, in a good way, I wasn't expecting to be able to meet people like you and your family.
Yeah.
So it's like we came here. First of all, I mean, this place is magnificent.
Yeah, it is.
And not that we didn't think it would be nice, but it's like, there's no words for it.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally no words for it. But
yeah.
So one of the things, like I said, like, you know, we didn't realize that we were actually going to be among other guests staying here. Like, when we came, I'm thinking like, oh, like, we're going to be, you know, we were in the guest house. I'm thinking like, oh, it's probably like a 4 or 5 bedroom house where, you know, it's going to just be us, right?
Yep.
So pleasantly surprised that we had, there's other guests here, you know,
yeah.
You're from America, there's somebody else, Pastor Francis.
Oh, yeah, from Sierra Leone.
Yep.
It's like a full-blown hotel.
Right? The Germans. We had a couple guys from Germany here.
Yeah, and you missed a big group that was just here.
Oh, really?
Like 40 people right before you guys came.
40?
It was like a good like 40 people. I guess it can fit. There's like 80 rooms in there.
There's that many?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Because we're planning to bring more groups next year. So
yeah.
It fit a lot.
Wow, I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. Like I said, I know you've been here a little bit longer than us. We've only been here for, I've lost track of time, but I think 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the 2 days that we've been here, we've experienced so much and met so many great people. Not only the family here, the children and the staff and everything else, but like, you know, obviously people like you, and it's just, it's a phenomenal experience. And I know because you guys are about to head out, so I'm glad we connected here. And we're squeezing this in just before you're leaving. So like, how has your experience been here?
It's been incredible. So I actually heard about MCF when my oldest daughter, she just turned 9 while we were in Africa. She was a baby when I heard about it, and I found one of the books that was written about Moli, and so I read about it while I rocked her to sleep. And then pretty much the documentary came out. One of my husband's coworkers knew the guy that made the documentary.
Mm.
And so he told me, he said, hey, that book you read, he said, they're making a documentary about it. Cause I was just really inspired by the story. And so when that came out, we watched it. And then my husband last year got invited to come do a training. And he was having issues with his stomach at the time. And I said, you have to go regardless, just suck it up and go. Like, you have to go.
Yeah.
And then he came, and then it's been just really a pivotal moment in our lives with certain decisions that we've made. And then he said, next year, bringing the whole family. So here
awesome.
We are.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how long have you been here? Like how many days?
So 10 days total. So tomorrow, I think today's day 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And we're leaving at like 3:30 in the morning tomorrow to go on a safari before we head out.
Oh, you're doing the safari?
Yeah.
Where at?
I don't know. It's by the airport. It's not
going
to be one of the fancy ones.
Okay.
But maybe a future trip we'll be able to.
Nice. Well, at least you're getting it in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Got to see the animals.
Yeah. So you're from California.
Yeah.
Were you born and raised there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about where you come from and kind of a little bit about your business and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm from a little town called Ripon. We're the almond capital of the world. You might know them as almonds.
Mm.
So we call them almonds because when it falls off, the L gets knocked out. When it falls out of the tree. So now you know.
Wow, I did not know that.
If you want to sound legit, say Ammon.
Ammon.
And so grew up there. I went to college at Chico State in Northern California. And then I spent a little time in Colorado in college. And then my dad's been a CPA all my life, longer than I've been alive, I say. So he's an old fart. And started to work with him. And then a couple years ago, we started our own family business. So me and my sister and my dad are in business together, and we help entrepreneurs pay less tax and do all the normal accounting stuff, tax planning, tax preparation, bookkeeping, payroll, all that good stuff. So
who doesn't like to save on taxes?
Who doesn't like that?
Right?
That's the exciting part of the business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it all day long.
Yes.
Yeah. So like right when we met and we exchanged information and we got on Instagram and like I saw your content and I'm like, save $70,000+? I need to talk to this lady, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So how has it been, working, we were talking a little bit, earlier today about like family business stuff and how is it like working with your family in the business? I'm sure there's a lot of positives, maybe some negatives, some challenges, but how has it been for you like working with your family?
Overall, it's been a very good experience. So luckily we all have different strengths and skills. And so I get to do the fun part, I think. I get to just talk to people.
I agree. Yeah.
So talk to people and do all that fun stuff. I take the initial calls and kind of help guide them on their next steps as a client. And then I get to do all the marketing, so that part's fun. So I get to go to all the mastermind groups, conferences, all that stuff. My sister's more behind the scenes. She would hate doing my job. And so she does all the operational stuff, all that good stuff. And then my dad trains all of our CPAs and all of our partners in that area because he's the brains behind that.
Yeah. How many CPAs are there?
We have about 5 different CPAs, 4 different partners right now. So they're truly partners in the business, and what I like about that is they have invested interest in the client's success.
Mm.
And so my dad just makes sure that they do, they stay up to date with the creative stuff because that's why people come to us often. And then he just makes himself available to them.
Very cool. Very cool. So this is the, probably the most important question of this whole interview episode here is how's the pizza in California?
Pizza? I think it's pretty good.
Is it?
I don't know if it's as good as you guys.
Yeah, have you ever been on the East Coast?
I have been on the East Coast, but I've never been to Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah. So we're like a little north of Philly, but okay. But I mean, I think anywhere like in Pennsylvania, New Jersey,
yes.
New York. I mean, maybe not New Jersey. We like to make fun of New Jersey,
yeah.
But our hometown, like we're in like the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar.
Office.
Oh, the Office. Yeah. That's always the go-to. It's the easiest thing.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because like, not that I don't like the show,
uh-huh.
but I think because we're from the area, like it's one of those things where like, I've seen some of it, but I was never like a diehard fan.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot of people in our hometown, obviously love it and everything. But a friend of mine, the crazy part is friend of mine back home, his name is Danny Corby,
mm-hmm.
and his family actually owns the company. There's actually a real company called PA Paper and Supply.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in Scranton. It still exists.
Is it based off of that?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Wow.
That's the thing that a lot of people may not realize.
Is it the same office or? Like
they're a paper supply company. So
yeah.
like it's just like PA Paper Supply is just like that is the like it's
the
literally
office.
Yeah that's the
that's
office
great.
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot that's made up for entertainment purposes, but it's truly based off like that clock tower that you see.
Yeah,
that's real.
Wow.
Like it's there. Like
that's
cool. all there. And again, like I don't because I've never really watched the show as much, but I do know just through friends of mine that have been involved with like screenplays
yeah.
and writing and all that and like writers writing for movies and television that the writers really really did their homework, like because a lot of the episodes, again, because I haven't watched it, but from what I've been told through people that actually write for for movies have told me like because they were like diehard fans and they're like these parts in the episodes, like it's all like so real and those people can tell like based on the show, they can tell like, oh my gosh, like these writers actually did their research
homework.
And like it's like legit.
That's great.
Yeah.
There's another show that's based on an accounting firm.
Mm.
Similar humor to The Office.
What's the show?
I forget what it's called. I need to look it up.
Okay.
It's only on YouTube that I've seen.
Okay.
But the humor is very similar, like dry, stupid humor.
Yeah.
We always joke that my dad is Michael Scott.
That's great.
He's not
I gotta
as
meet
like
your dad.
He's not as like cringy,
but he has
no filter.
You're saying right before he came on, like your dad has his moments.
Yes.
And I said I was like, I don't know. I feel like your dad's a guy I need to sit down with.
Yes.
You know?
He's pretty funny. He had a joke, what was it? He's saying that he said that we were at a conference and he was speaking and it was during tax season, so he said his team had they said that he was like, what was it? A foreskin. He says they nicknamed me foreskin because I disappear when things get hard.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's my dad.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Gives you a sneak preview.
Oh, that says it all right
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is your dad? Is your dad like? Is he tech savvy? Like, do you think he'll watch this or? Because this will be obviously.
If I tell him, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this will be on YouTube, but obviously, if somebody like him who may not like. Or anyone that doesn't want to sit down and actually watch, if they don't want to see our beautiful faces in front of this beautiful
painting.
Artwork. Yeah, the artwork. It's 3D. They can listen, obviously, the audio on any platform, on Spotify or Apple or anything. But but back to the pizza is a real serious thing. Like, we take pizza like very serious back.
Pizza's
like,
very good. But you do the big pizza, the big slices, right?
We've got like all different kinds. Like, what's a pizza like by you?
It depends. I'll go to Mountain Mike's.
Oh, is it like small? Like, is it thin crust? I love
thin crust. It just depends on where you go. We have medium-sized crust. There's one place near me. Used to call it Pizza Plus. They call it Gold Dust now, but all the locals are like, they boycott the Gold Dust name. It's Pizza Plus.
Okay.
That's very good. Very like fresh pizza, very fresh ingredients.
Is it like, do you have like a lot of like locally owned family business,
not a
like
lot,
food?
But some. Okay. Yeah.
Because like by us, like that's
that
like the
is.
Unique part, like in our hometown is pretty much, obviously we have the chains. We have like all your typical chains, but at the same time, in our area, it's like when people from, I'll say out of the area come to our town or thereabouts, like we have so many, like we have way more like locally owned, like family pizzerias and restaurants
which
and all that.
Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have way more than that than the chains, which is like really cool.
Yeah.
And there's so much good food, not just pizza, like,
What do you think of the food here?
You know what? Very good.
Yeah,
honestly.
They do a good job cooking. And they also have a lot of plants to choose from, luckily.
Yeah.
I don't think everywhere that you'll go in Africa will be that way.
Yeah, you know, I think we were, we're spoiled here.
Yes.
Right? You know, MCF, we've been spoiled, you know, which we're very grateful for.
Yeah.
Obviously, our second leg to this trip, you know, we're staying in a hotel. I'm sure it'll be nice, but it probably won't be as nice and as good as here. But did you try the pineapple, by the way?
Yeah, it's very good.
And did you know it's like literally grown right down the road?
Yeah. Our bananas too are very sweet. You guys haven't gotten to try them, I don't think, yet.
No.
But maybe grab a couple before you leave and let them ripen.
Okay.
Because they're not ripe yet, but they just took.
Do they normally put them out for like the meals?
They do if they're ripe. Yeah, they haven't had them.
So they probably just keep them in the back until they're ripe, and then they probably put them out?
Yeah, I'll show you where to go. It's in Molly's old house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his original house when he got here.
So did you know that the building that we're staying in, do you know that that was actually supposed to be Molly's retirement home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, and he turned it into a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a pretty amazing guy. It really is inspiring, makes you want to live beyond yourself.
Oh yeah. I mean, just instantly, like you even just being in his presence, there's just, you just feel it.
Yeah.
And for what he's done and what he's built and the amount of people that he's helped, it's almost like you can't even comprehend it. Like, it's so hard. It doesn't even still being here. Like, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way, but like even just being here, it's like, it's so surreal.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never, Josh has, but you know, Eric and I, like, we never ever experienced anything like this. Like, this is, again, like, a little coming into this a little bit, we didn't know a little bit what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we all saw the documentary, you know, and it was funny. Walter, shout out to Walter. He's one of the, he's on the media team here at MCF, and he's been going around with us and helping shoot some content and everything.
Yeah.
So he, yesterday after I sat down with Molly, you know, Walter was with us the whole time. And, you know, him and I were just chit-chatting afterwards, and he was like, so he's like, you know, we were just talking about, I was talking about, we saw a documentary, blah, blah, and he's like, so what do you think? He goes, is it here? Is it just like the documentary? Like, is it?
No, it's much bigger.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. I said, well, the people, like, the hospitality, like, all that, like, everything was, like, all the same. Like, it's everything that I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And then some, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like you said, much bigger, like as far as like the property, because, you know, in the documentary, of course, it shows the vastness of the property.
Fly.
But we have a couple of flies. So don't mind us, by the way,
if we're
doing some of these, like, we're okay. Like, none of us are, you know, freaking out. We're just
we've come down with some Tourette's while we're here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got these. You know, I was like, wow, boy, they're really tight. They really talk with their hands. but yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, I was telling Walter, I'm like, there was also a lot in the, there was a lot more here that really wasn't in the documentary.
Yeah, they can't. I don't think, like, they can show it all.
Plus, it's also still like, there's still so much more being built constantly.
Yeah.
So from the time the documentary was filmed till, you know, us being here in the present now, like, there's been, I think, so much more, and I don't even know, but there's been so much more that has developed here.
Yeah.
Like that sports complex. Like,
well, even last year they just started building that sports complex, I think, and my husband said it's come really far.
It's unbelievable.
Since last year.
And they said it's gonna be done,
hospital.
I think, in 3 months.
Have you guys seen the hospital
on the way in?
Yeah, so they're building that. So that's a big, that's a $6 million project that they need more.
Yeah.
But it's going to help so much in this community. So it's just really, it's pretty cool.
It's really crazy thing. So, like, you know, from here to Nairobi, which is where the airport is, I'm sure you flew in right there too.
Yeah.
So there's no hospital, I think, right? In between. There's not, like, the closest hospital, I think, is in Nairobi, like, probably in the city of Nairobi. Like, I'm guessing somewhere near the airport.
And it's not free. They're going to provide,
The
people that can pay, they'll pay. The people that can't pay, they're still going to treat.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the amount of people that probably die or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, our friends from Sierra Leone, my husband went out and visited him.
Oh, really?
And there's, last year, I think it was, or a year before. But so the school that they run is named after my husband's mom that passed away when he was a kid. So it's Auntie Shirley's International Academy.
Oh, wow.
So we flew them out to learn. He was about Molly's age when Molly started, and they're doing the same kind of thing down there. So we thought he can learn from him. But there was a kid down there that had, his stomach was hurting him, and they couldn't afford to take him to the hospital. And so my husband said that they could tell he's just in severe pain.
Yeah.
So he's like, we'll pay for him, let's take him. And he had appendicitis.
Wow.
It was literally like a day from bursting.
I was going to say, yeah, he could probably die like any minute.
Yep. And so is literally the surgery was only like $100. $120.
It's unbelievable.
And they wouldn't have been able to afford it.
Can you imagine Yeah. Like in the U.S., like, yeah. It's just like, I don't even know how yeah. normal people even survive and even get by, even with healthcare. Like, yeah. it's out of control. It's out of control yeah. in the U.S.
So, yeah, what he's doing is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, so the tax knowledge for entrepreneurs. You know, I yeah. was sharing with you a little bit before, you know, like, you know, our show, it's a little bit of everything. It's business, yeah. entrepreneurship, it's life. I've had the gamut of guests on, yeah. on this show, but a lot of people that do consume our content is of, I'll say, you know, our kind,
yes,
right?
The entrepreneur ADD people.
Right? Yeah, yeah. yeah. I love it, yeah. Yep. So we're basically the same person, but yep. But yeah, so tell me a little bit about, like, you know, kind of, obviously, I know you do the marketing, you touched on that a little bit, but like, yeah. how do you guys like really help entrepreneurs? Like, what yeah. is like when you first like either take on a client, like what do you look for in a client and vice versa?
Yeah, so we actually have a process that within like 10 to 15 minutes, I can uncover an average of $70,000 in savings if they're netting, you know, 250 and up. So if they have kids, we'll look at how to put them on the payroll. A lot of the times, like, my kids are my models, so just easy, because they're, you know, you met them, they're 7 and 9. There's not much more they can do besides yeah. that and look cute.
Yeah, right.
So we do that. Those are simple ones, putting, you know, renting your house to your business, the Augusta strategy. A lot of people know that. My dad, for example, one of the things that he does, my grandma's 91 and she didn't save enough to retire well. And so what he did is he just set up a marketing company. Passively owned by her, so she's just a shareholder of the company. He basically hires that company for services, and he still does all the services, but he shifts about 80 grand of his income to her lower tax bracket.
Oh, wow.
We're in California, so that's about 40,000 in savings on
that's
taxes.
A lot.
And so he lets her, you know, keep some of it. He pays her tax, so it's about 10,000 in tax, so he net profits about 30 grand on that. And then he just splits it with her, so he profits about, you know, 15 grand total.
Wow.
With just helping my grandma out.
That's incredible.
So he says, I always like it because I get the credit as the fair-haired child that supports my mom, but I actually make money on it. So
yeah.
So we do that a lot. We'll do that with college students. We've actually gotten somebody in-state tuition with that, because if, you know, if you're sending your kid, he was in California, his daughter was going to Arizona State. So we set up a corporation in Arizona and basically shifted money to there. And so she was able to qualify for you know, financial aid, but also got in-state tuition, which saves a lot. And then every time that client visits his daughter, every time she comes home, it's a deduction. So visiting a vendor, right?
Yeah, right.
So we'll look
course.
At that. And then if we have clients that have like a lot of payroll and marketing, for example, we'll set up a new corporation with a November year end, and we'll teach them how to funnel the funds back and forth and get a big tax deferral. So basically, one of our clients was able to get, he's a construction company, so we put all of his subcontractors, payroll, and then construction costs into another company with a fiscal year end. We were able to get him a $15 million deferral over the course of several years.
How much?
$15
million. $15
million. Yeah, and so we basically, he was in California. We work all over the U.S., but the California examples are fun because yeah. California sucks on the tax side of things.
Yeah.
So we were able to get him a $7.5 million interest-free loan that he used to fund real estate, and now he has over $25 million of assets paid for, free and clear, with money that he would have thrown to the IRS.
I'm, like, stunned right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously, you know, we're in Pennsylvania. Have you worked with anyone in PA?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you know enough about PA. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not like a, I'm horrible at accounting and all that
yeah.
stuff. Not my. Yeah, as we said before, we're
that's
the
why you
we're
need
the,
to
we're
hire
the,
somebody.
Yeah, like we're the outgoing people. Not you yeah. know, not that all accountants aren't outgoing, right?
I hire but a bookkeeper myself.
Same.
Because
yeah.
yes,
yeah.
yes.
Because we're not numbers people.
No.
You know, the only numbers I know how to do is like what's in my bank account. Like, oh, okay, I have some money in there.
There
good.
You go. Yeah.
I'm good. You know, yeah. But yeah, like I'd be curious to, like, you know, just learn a little bit more about, like, you know, obviously, you know, maybe some of the laws like in Pennsylvania, like how I you know not. All of our listeners are in PA, obviously. We have listeners all over the world, too, mm-hmm. but a lot of the entrepreneurs, a majority of them will be listening to this, will mm-hmm. be in PA. Like, is there anything, you know, from a small business standpoint that, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're a solo entrepreneur or, you know, small business, obviously you shared a little bit about, like, you know, net 250 and above type thing, but is there anything else, like, from a small business owner standpoint, maybe in Pennsylvania specifically,
mm-hmm.
I'm really just being selfish here and asking for me, that anyone could just do, like, tomorrow,
like tips?
Something, yeah, anything, tips, or, like,
good set of books, a lot of people, this is so simple, it's not sexy, but it's important because mm-hmm. you can't do anything else unless you know your numbers.
Right.
So have a good set of books, separate bank account, separate business, you know, credit card for all your business transactions, and don't intermingle. One of our clients, he intermingled. We audited his bank statements from his personal side. We found $50,000 in deductions just by auditing his personal accounts. So it's so important to just keep it separate.
So like it was money that he was spending, you know, with the personal that wasn't being accounted for, like yep. like bookkeeping wise
yeah.
over here. Is
yeah,
that right?
For the business, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's money, or it's like too, like learning what you can deduct, what not, like, you know, if you make a
yeah, it's always like a gray line area.
There's
by
a
way.
Lot of
like,
gray.
I like to you know, I'll yeah. say push the boundaries a little, but yeah. but legally, of course, yeah. you know, and I think there's
well, everything's a deduction until you get caught. So it's no okay. understanding.
Oh, is that the rule?
Pretty much.
Okay.
But
I
until
like
you
that.
Get audited, right? And
okay.
so you ever
then you say sorry?
Well, no, then you have to pay interest and penalties on it.
Okay.
So you don't want to. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. Like a lot of people don't realize that their bank statements are not enough to withstand an audit. You need your receipt and you need to write down the purpose. So things like that. We actually put together a tax course that goes through basics and then more advanced strategies. So we give that away for free. So
I was going to say, is it free?
Yeah.
Where can people find it?
They can just go ahead and they can message me on Instagram. Melanie Sikma is my handle. Or they can just text 209-924-4718. That's my work line. You can just text course and then I can get them access.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send it to me right after this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my dad actually jumps in on quarterly office hours to answer questions.
Nice.
He's not really available for clients, so that's the only time he really is. So if people want to jump in and just ask questions, that's all for free. So.
Nice. What else? Is there anything, any other tax tips or like something like it, like up with something super simple like tomorrow? Like if somebody's like, I just need to like start, do something tomorrow about my tax or my
yeah.
bookkeeping situation. Like
if you're netting over, I'd say 50,000 to 70,000, depending on what state you're in, you could be, you probably should be looking at being an S corp. That's when that makes sense.
Yeah, that's always
people,
yeah, that's always the challenge. Like once one, where's that area that you finally make
yeah.
the transition?
Typically, on average, it's about 60,000 net profit,
mm-hmm.
and that's if you're netting 60 after all the other deductions.
Okay.
And the reason for that is as like an LLC or a sole prop, you're paying self-employment tax on 15.3%. That adds an additional 15.3% tax. As an S corp, that self-employment tax goes away, but it's replaced with payroll taxes. And so we just put you on a low but reasonable wage mm-hmm. as an officer.
This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessnepa. All On the Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights.
So back to that real estate example that you gave. So I'm interested in real estate. I own a property. I'm looking to get some more. I'm very interested in like hearing a little bit more about maybe a little bit of that exact example you gave,
yeah.
but even others if you have any others.
Yeah.
But like, so tell me again, how did that work out?
Yeah. So he had a construction company. I'll put this up here.
Yep.
And then, or here for the cameras.
Up here is we could switch the island.
Yeah. I'll put it on my face.
Yeah.
So here is the main company and it has a December year end. The new company is a November year end company. It's both S corps and it's going to have a November year end. So there's like a month gap. And so we basically would put all the payroll and marketing into that company. It depends on every business we work with. It's all individualized, but we marked it up about 40%. And then that company invoiced the main company all year long. But the main company didn't get around to paying the bill until December hit, and then it paid everything off. And so basically you can also prepay a whole year's of expenses in advance if you're a cash basis. There's some random things like that. But this main company, basically we are able to create a big deduction, but we pushed all the profit into the new company for the next year. So they have different year
Interesting.
Ends.
Interesting.
So where you hold the profit is depending on the time of the year.
Okay, so you kind of sort of take that year by year and just...
And so you could kick it until
quarterly.
You... Basically, we say if you, it's called our kick the can plan because you can kick the can basically down the road. And then if you
like
pair
that.
It with life insurance, you kick the can until you kick the bucket, like the death benefit, pay it off, and then you just... don't have to pay
That's
taxes.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah. My dad actually, we used to call it the crack cocaine plan because it's fun and addictive while you're doing it, but you got to go back into rehab eventually and pay back the tax.
Did your dad come up with that?
Yeah.
That's another one of his.
He came up with the crack cocaine. I came up with kick the can because a lot of people are like, is that legal?
And, right. Yeah.
You know?
I definitely knew. I knew without even you answering that he was the crack cocaine example.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
for sure. I knew. It's based on the story you already told. Yeah.
And then, we have these other strategies that help avoid capital gains. And we call those our hangover pills because we had crack cocaine with a hangover pill.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. So something that everybody, not everybody can obviously relate to me doing drugs, but I'm just saying it simplifies it.
Yes.
Like it really
makes it fun, sticky.
Yeah. It's not so boring because you know what, to be honest,
taxes
like
are boring.
Taxes are boring. unless you're a tax and a numbers person.
Yeah.
This stuff's boring.
It's really boring. It's
so
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is nice to save the money.
Yes.
You know, and be able to, move things around, take advantage of the profit without having to have it eaten up by the government.
Yes.
Or as you said, like before with the example of using the personal account and you just don't even realize you just blew 50 grand and you're like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like you won't even know until like somebody like you or somebody else that accountant and bookkeeping come along and really look at it and be like, guess what?
Well, and really like as boring as it is, I never realized how important it was until I've talked to several people with major tax issues. And I've talked to even somebody that was going to kill themselves if we hadn't helped them. He told my dad that he's like, if you guys hadn't helped me, I was going to jump off the balcony. And it's like you don't really realize how finances really do weigh on people. And so little things like that you can avoid the stress down the road.
Yeah, that is very powerful.
He's had 5 people say they would have killed themselves if he hadn't helped him.
Really?
This was my first person last year, but yeah.
Wow. The people were on the brink of...
Yeah.
Wow, it's so sad.
Yeah, so it's important.
It is.
It's boring,
it is,
but it's important.
It is, yeah. Like you said, I think people don't realize that the stress that finances cause, like not only from a business standpoint...
Or the lack of finances,
right? Yeah, or lack of finances and the pressure that it puts on, like, your family, of course, if it's a family-owned business or, any business, even if it's not a family business, but you as the business owner, dealing with all that stuff every day, every week, maybe some weeks you're like praying that you're going to make payroll and all that. And the stress of that stuff, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy
for
stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
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 It's, again, like you said, it's one of those things that we don't think about it as much as everybody else because we're not the crunch of the numbers.
Yeah,
but obviously
exactly.
You have a ton of knowledge in it, which is
I get to learn all the stuff. I kind of think of myself as the translator because it's oftentimes a foreign subject. And since I don't naturally think that way, it's kind of helpful to have somebody that doesn't think that way explain it.
Yeah, but you can sort of dumb it down to like
our level.
Because
I needed it dumbed down. Exactly.
Yeah. Totally. I need the crack cocaine analogies.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that plan, I had to have my dad explain it like 15 times before I fully got it.
Yeah.
But I also, when I first started with my dad, I didn't even know what an S corp was.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you how much I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then just how much you can learn in a short period of time.
Yeah. How do you continue to learn? Like, what do you do? I'm sure you're learning a lot from your dad. You mentioned a little bit about like some masterminds and other things you go to, but how else do you just learn? I'll say in the entrepreneurial space, like what do you do?
Yeah. So I typically like to just ask a lot of questions. And oftentimes the questions that I get asked, instead of just passing them off to somebody, I find the answer and then I give it back. And then that helps me understand it. I also listen to a lot of podcasts and the tax related ones that can be kind of boring, but it does help me understand it. And then just the entrepreneurial stuff. My dad actually used to be a CFO. So we do our weekly meetings. We have leadership meetings every week. We do our monthly and quarterly meetings. And so all those meeting rhythms, I get to learn and glean from him on how to run a successful business. So, yeah.
What do you have a one or two favorite podcasts? It doesn't have to be just numbers or tax
Alex
wise.
Alex Hormozi
but like...
and Layla Hormozi. Layla Hormozi especially. I learn a lot from her about running, operating a company and running a team, doing that well. She's amazing.
Yeah. Alex Hormozi is his content right now is
all over.
On fire.
We went to his workshop.
Did you?
The acquisition workshop.
Yeah.
It's really, really great.
You got a lot out of it?
A lot, yeah.
Really?
It's worth it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything else, like, besides, like, podcasts? Like, do you travel around, like, going to any, like, conferences or anything?
Yeah, I'm part of several different masterminds. So I'm part of the Legacy family with Tim Bratz. That's a great one. Leadership Boardroom, Sean McCloskey. Just joined Investor Fuel with Mike Hambright. And that's a lot of flippers, wholesalers. So,
Do you do a lot in the real estate?
A lot. I don't know. It's, like, not what we try to, but
it just sort of happens.
Flock to, I think it's because we know what we're doing with the real estate world, and it's a whole new ball game with taxes. So it's important, if you are in real estate, to have a tax professional that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're not taking advantage of every loophole that you can.
Yeah, and I think most people don't realize the advantages of owning real estate.
Yes.
Like there's so much.
You literally don't have to, if you buy enough real estate every year, you don't have to pay taxes because of cost seg studies. But it's like, it's your cost seg study. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. I threw out a tax term. And I'm like, let me break it down.
Yep.
So a cost segregation study, if you qualify as a real estate professional, which means you do 750 hours or more in real estate, you could basically accelerate the depreciation and take that depreciation all in the first, like all in 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, you buy a whole apartment building, you can use that to offset your taxes from your business. Mm. A lot of people, like, you have a business, so mm-hmm. you couldn't qualify as a real estate professional. Your wife could, though, if she qualifies.
I see. And so what do we got to do? Like, how does that work?
You have to track it. So 750 hours in qualified real estate activities. And then
we have a bike rider here.
Yeah. Evie. We're on a podcast. You need to
say hello. Just wave to the camera. Wave. Say hello.
Don't come back, okay?
Thank you for visiting, though.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to have 750 hours in qualified real estate activity. We have a flow chart that we can share if people want that. They can text the same number as earlier, the 209. 209-924-4718. I haven't had to say it in a while since I've been here.
Yeah, because you're probably not giving that out to too many people here, right?
I know. Yeah. No, I'm not. Or the other way to do it is if you buy like a short-term rental, if your wife works, you both can't qualify for the real estate professional.
If she has like a day job?
Yeah.
Shucks.
Yeah, so you could buy a short-term rental.
You gotta quit your job.
You could buy a short-term rental though, and then you don't have to hit all the hours. You just have to hit like 100. And if you have to self-manage it, you could use that to offset your income.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So that's a loophole.
Yeah. What was that $15 million one that you gave earlier, that example? What was that one again?
So that was the crack cocaine, the kick the can.
Yeah, explain that one again.
So your main company probably has a December year in.
Mm-hmm.
We put all of his, he had a lot of subcontractor expenses and construction costs. So we just formed a different company with a November year end.
Mm-hmm.
We basically marked up the prices with industry averages.
Right, right.
And then the way that we taught them to funnel the money back and forth, basically invoiced all year, but didn't pay it off until December hit. And so it created a big deduction to the main company, but it didn't show his profit until the next year. And then we just pushed it down the line.
And how much did he save?
He saved about $7.5 million. In his pocket that he would have owed the IRS.
That's crazy.
And he just used that to fund real estate. And then he only owes now about $2 million, but we've feathered that back in year after year.
Mm.
And so he basically used it like an interest-free loan.
That's
the purpose of it. You don't want to buy any nice stuff with it. It's to grow your business, grow your assets, whatever. Yeah.
Interest-free loan, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Especially now.
I mean, like when I, you know, just getting started with some of the stuff, like I always joke, it's kind of funny, like looking back on it, like, you know, a lot of people like may or may not realize this. I mean, I probably shared this a couple times on our show before, but like, you know, even just getting started with like some equipment and stuff, like I didn't want to take a loan. Not that I couldn't.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to take a loan. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not saying to go open a bunch, like 10 credit cards, but, if you get a 18-month interest-free credit card.
Yes.
And there you go. There's your free
startup
loan.
Startup bonuses too are
good. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Spend $6,000 within the 6 months. You get the $750 or $500 back. Plus you get the 18 months of no interest. And not only you got that free cash back, then you have a free loan. That's what I tell everybody. A lot of people like don't realize it's such a simple thing. Like people don't realize it.
As long as you pay it back. That's the goal.
You have to pay it back within that. Like, and if you don't, then you're paying all the retroactive interest from that whole time. So yes, that is key. A little thing. I'm not a CPA or anything like that.
Tax,
but
yeah,
I do. I at least I know that pay it off. And you know, we still do it all the time. Like, I mean, there's like the Home Depot thing. You know, you can get every once in a while. Like, we always do that with some. You know, you get the interest free.
My husband's
special that they run.
He's a big credit card, like, I don't know if it's called hacker, but
yeah, pretty much
whatever.
Yeah.
But we paid for our 10-year anniversary trip in January with credit card points.
Nice.
It's like a $50,000 trip. We went to the Maldives, went to Qatar, went to Singapore, got to stay at the Waldorf Astoria in Maldives, which is like $3,000 a night, and we flew business class.
Oh my God!
It was amazing.
That's like an ultimate trip.
It was amazing. Yeah. So I'm like, not as poor Dave Ramsey as some people are. Yeah. We wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah.
But we did it responsibly. We paid it all off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's the points guru.
Yeah, he's very good.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. So what does he do?
He works for a Christian ministry, and we're starting our own nonprofit called All In International. So he's stepping away from his role now and just going to do that full time. And so it's a bit of a leap of faith because we're, you know, jumping into that. So, but we're going to help vulnerable children around the world. And it's basically, we're partnering with people like Molly. And in France, the reason why we flew them out is kind of the launching of this new nonprofit that we're starting.
Oh, wow. So that was like part of this trip for you guys was kicking that off?
Kicking that off,
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. And to bring our family here has been cool.
That is cool.
So very excited. And just seeing Francis and his wife, Marion, just be filled, like they're going back excited. And it's draining work. You know, they work with about 400 kids. 50 of them are orphans, and about half of those are staying with them. And so they can only, you know, they're eating one meal a day right now.
Wow.
And so they're literally sacrificing and giving of themselves to help these kids. And so
that's impressive.
They're going back filled, and we're excited. So be able to help them and help them help the kids. So.
Yeah. So like where the nonprofit that your husband and you guys are doing, like where is it going to operate?
Online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, are you going to go to any sites like stuff like this? Are you going to like...
Well, we're going to do, right now it's just Sierra Leone and Kenya. Those are the two, we're focusing mainly on that, but we're going to probably find more Francis's to basically
to learn
and glean from Molly. Because it's, instead of just recreating the wheel, Molly does a great job, and he can speak to them in a way we can't because we've never done it. So we're just basically leveraging relationships to be able to make a bigger impact.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing. I mean, obviously, you know, we know, and like relationships and making those connections. Like, I mean, even just this connection, like who knows?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I said, when we first started, I had no idea that we were going to be among other guests here.
I'm thinking
like we were coming here, like, oh, we're going to be only guests, like not realizing. You know, I knew how big this place was, but I didn't think the guest house.
Yeah.
You know, guest house. It sounds, you know, it's more like a guest Taj Mahal. But you know, again, like these relationships, like I think they're so key. You know, and I'm so glad we actually got to sit down and do this before you left, because you know, even though you're in California and I'm in Pennsylvania, like we already just from like the within 5 minutes of meeting each other, we already like saw and made some connections of like just mutual contacts, which is like unbelievable. Like,
it's a small world.
It is. And like we were here in Kenya and I meet somebody else from the United States on the complete opposite side of the country and we had mutual connections.
Yep.
Like it's unbelievable. Like I never ever in a million years would have thought. And I don't even know if I told you, I've told the story so many times today, probably because we were meeting with all the kids today, because they were asking me like, hey, why are you, like, how did you make the connection? How did you hear about MCF?
Yeah.
Like, why are you here? Did I tell you this yet?
Mm-mm.
So when we decided to come to Kenya, so it was in December of 2023, Josh, who I barely known at the time, by the way, like we were friends on Facebook, from the same hometown. The only reason I knew him is because the commercial property that I own where our studios are at, I actually bought it from his parents.
Oh.
So I only met Josh by accident. Actually in like 2 or 3 days is like the two years I've owned that building, I think. I forget.
Wow.
But yeah, so like the anniversary of me purchasing his parents' building is actually during this trip.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But the only reason I met Josh is after I bought the building, like literally the day of the closing, I left the attorney's office, you know, with the key, first time, right? I'm going just to go in. I had to let my mom in. My mom was going to be there to help, you know, let a couple, like, contractors and stuff come in.
Yeah.
And Josh happened to be parked in the parking on the property. And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, I've owned this building for 30 minutes and there's already people parking like on my property. Like I gotta kick somebody off the property, like, right? So I'm like all mad, right? And I'm like, I go outside and like, I'm looking all around, there's a car park there. And then here comes Josh walking.
Yeah.
And his parents, like he actually grew up, like his parents owned the house like right next door too. So Josh comes over, he's like, he comes walking, he's kind of like flagging me down. And I'm like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, he's probably the guy. I'm like, oh, hey, is that your car? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm heading out right now. He's like, I'm only here for a couple minutes. I'm like, oh, no worries, don't worry about it. I just was curious like who it was, you know? And he's like, yeah, I was just visiting my parents right here next door. He goes, you must be Bill, right? And I'm like, how does this guy know, right? And he goes, you just bought the building, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you bought it from my parents. I'm like, he's like, I'm Josh and I'm Bill. And we talked for like a half hour or so that day.
Yeah.
And then we hadn't spoken again. Again, that was 2 years ago. Really probably until like I ran into him like one time, like out of the store.
Yeah.
Real brief. And then the next interaction we had was in December of 2023. I posted a picture or something on Facebook and I just said, hey, like we're looking to do some, like almost all of our episodes are filmed in our studio on the same location. But I said to Josh, I was like, hey, or I just posted something on Facebook. Hey, I'm looking for anywhere like local in our area to do like a cool like on-site episode. Like a couple, I'd like to do some on-site stuff. And I got like, you know, a ton of recommendations, probably like 100 people like with all great, like there was not one bad recommendation, right? And Josh was one of them. And Josh comments and he goes, I know you said local. He goes, but how about coming to Africa for the Dirt Project?
That's
his
cool.
nonprofit, right? He goes, how about coming to Africa and doing some podcasts about the Dirt Project and the work that we're doing?
Yeah.
And like as soon as I saw the comment, like commented back just like a funny gif or something, like yes or whatever I commented, right? And then I immediately messaged him.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey man, like I'm like very interested in that. I was like, I don't know how we're gonna fund it. I was like, but I'm sure we can figure it out between the two of us.
Yeah.
I said, I'm really interested, like, you wanna like, can we talk on the phone, like, and like just so I can learn and understand a little bit more about what you're doing, what it all entails, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, sure, like, so within 1 hour of that, of him commenting, we were on the phone, and I was like, I within 1 minute of talking, I was like, Josh, like, I'm already, like, you don't even need to say anymore, like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in, like, tell me, like, what this is gonna cost, like, and then let's just figure that out backwards.
Yeah.
It's like, we committed, I'm the type of person where I'll, you know, as long as I believe in something, right, and I like it and I want to do it, I'm of the mindset, like, commit to it and figure it out later.
Figure it out, that's
right?
How I am,
it's
the maverick personality
it
is what it
right?
is.
Yeah. So literally on the phone, we're like, yeah, man, like, I'm in, like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And so fast forward a few months, we weren't even planning to come to MCF. I didn't even know MCF existed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were only gonna be going to where we're going in a few days. We're going to Kuru to do the water well installation. This will be the sixth project that Josh and the Dirt Project is doing. And we partnered with them, so we're kind of doing it with them too. So it was a few months after that Josh ran into, there's this gentleman, his name is Pastor Guy, in our hometown.
Pastor Guy.
Okay. Do you know him or no?
No.
Okay, so Pastor Guy is connected to Molly.
Oh,
okay. So Josh runs into Pastor Guy at a coffee shop one day, literally. Yeah. Just ran into Pastor Guy. They got talking and Josh is telling him, hey, we're gonna be going to Kuru. I'm partnering with this guy, Bill. He's got the podcast, blah, blah. We're going, we're gonna shoot podcasts, kick off the next water irrigation project. He's like, he started talking about Molly. He started telling Josh about Molly. And I think Josh already knew about Molly, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And so he starts telling him. And Josh calls me right after. He's like, dude, I was just with Pastor Guy. And I don't know Pastor Guy, but shout out to Pastor Guy for helping make all this possible. he's like, dude, I just met with this gentleman. His name is Pastor Guy. And he's connected to this guy named Molly. And he's like, Molly's a really big deal and blah, blah, blah. He goes, he's such a big deal in this whole thing. Yeah. MCF is such a big deal. He's like, I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. He goes, I might be able to ask Pastor Guy if he can do me a favor and see if he can introduce us to Molly. And maybe if we extend our trip a little or whatever, that we could also spend some time at MCF. You can maybe sit down with Molly if we can get the opportunity. And I'm like, dude, I'm game for any. Like, I'm game, bro. Like, you bring a great opportunity like this to me. Like I said, first of all, I like it. I believe in it, all that. And I was like, yeah, like let's do it. So it wasn't even until a few months after, and thankfully I was delaying on booking the flight and just watching the prices, right?
Yeah.
And thankfully I hadn't booked the flight because the only way that we made this happen with Molly is we extended our trip, but we weren't supposed to fly in here until the 17th.
Yeah.
We ended up coming.
Which you would have been gone.
Oh yeah, it would have been gone.
Yeah.
And Molly's flying to our hometown tomorrow.
He told us about that.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
Like it's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, like I said, like this leg of our trip, you know, we extended it, but in the beginning of our trip.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it wasn't for all that, like.
What's awesome.
It's just so crazy how, like, I say this all the time, but just the way that the universe connects people yeah. like us.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's no coincidence.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah.
Like, I really, truly believe that. Like,
yeah.
the further, you know, we've done hundreds of these episodes now, and the further along I've gone in this journey, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like unbelievable. Like, you were, like, we were talking earlier at yeah. breakfast, like, about us all possibly coming back here, like, together for, you know, some other things.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, it's like, are you definitely coming back? Like, is
definitely.
That like
definitely? We're setting the dates before we leave, probably June or July. My husband will probably be here for 6 weeks, so okay. it'll depend on the business for me if I can.
Yeah.
But my goal is to really, like, something that I'm very passionate about is marrying business with, you know, serving. And so I want to do mastermind missions where we mastermind on trips, work together to make our businesses better, but also do that in a way that how can we use our businesses to serve others and.
So who are you looking for that? Like, I know you may already, like, this first trip might already be set and it might already be closed off mm-hmm. probably. Right. But if there are any available spots left,
I'm open to take anybody. I have a list of people that I'm going to ask because I want to be strategic with who I ask. I want them to be somewhat influential so that it doesn't
gotta be the right
stop
fit.
With them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm open. We're going to have 6 weeks to play with. So. And we were even talking with Molly's daughter. She said that she could probably arrange for, if we're here for the 4th of July, a big fireworks show.
Oh.
So that'll be cool.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, just people that are, to me, wanting to make an impact at their business. A lot of the times in the business world, it just becomes very self-centered and trying to be the best that you can be. And so, to me, the biggest thing that I look at is when I'm at my deathbed, I want to look back and feel like I lived my life well. And I don't think you can do that if you live for yourself. I think you need to live beyond yourself and look at ways to serve others. And so that's a really like something that I'm wanting to bring is to encourage others to make
that.
An impact.
Yeah. Because like you said, like we all get so caught up in our everyday lives. And like you said, I had Josh on the podcast a few months ago. It was episode 202, I believe, if you want to like hear about a little okay. more about mine and Josh's
yeah.
experience and a little bit further in the detail of the short story that I gave you. But like Josh gave an example during the episode I had with him of like, you know, if it's like called the sand and water parable, like where it's like if you're holding all the sand mm-hmm. and water like to yourself like this, and you know correlation is like, you know, you're holding all your money and all like everything tight with you that you're
yeah.
not sharing with anyone. So but if you're willing to just open up a little bit and you're willing to like, give 10% away of
mm-hmm.
time, money, whatever mm-hmm. it is, resources that God will then refill your
yeah.
cup, right? So like
yeah.
but if you keep it like this, you're never going to get anything in return.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be so closed off. And like you said, like there's no really fulfillment
yeah.
like in that. But like if you're willing to, you know, open up a little and be, you know, be able to give back in ways that, you know, that you're talking about and similarly
mm-hmm.
that God will then be able to give back to you. And
yeah.
then you can just keep building and building and building.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a great example.
It is.
Always done.
It's incredible.
He gave up a lot.
Yes, he
but
did.
But he also has been able to impact so much more.
For sure.
Yeah.
Future for you, obviously you talked a little bit about the nonprofit that your
mm-hmm.
husband's starting and the other projects you're gonna be working on, but future for you for the, you know, for the accounting stuff, you know, the missions, like what's on the horizon?
Horizon is just keep going. This is like an exciting, to me, refreshing journey because it is easy to get caught up to me in the business stuff, and it's not bad, but to me, if you just live, if you stay too inward, it's not fulfilling, you know? And so I'm excited to go back refreshed. And to me, the more successful that my business is, the more that I can help people. So I'm excited for that. So just keep growing, keep helping people. I mean, on the tax side of stuff, we get to save people money. So that's really fun because we truly do help people with
always
that.
Always a bonus.
But yeah, if we can also, like to me, what I really think would be cool is if we could find like-minded entrepreneurs that want to spend or pay less tax, but then they can take their savings and give some of that away. So that's something I'm excited about.
That's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's interested in working with you, even, you know, whatever it is, get involved with any of the missions that you're doing, like
mm-hmm.
how can people find you? Where do they need to go? How can
yeah,
they contact
I'm
you?
Most active on Instagram. So Melanie Sikma, S-I-K-M-A is my last name. And then they could just message me. We offer a free tax assessment. It's just 30 minutes. We jump on. I can ask a few questions and tell you really quickly if you're paying too much in tax. And then that's just free. And then from there, we'll tell you what the next steps are, if it makes sense. I'm also very open. If your accountant's doing a great job, I'll tell you that too. Yeah. And so they can get in touch with me there.
Awesome. Really good. So, well, this was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm really grateful that we actually made, I know you're flying out early tomorrow morning. So yeah. Thanks again for taking the time,
yeah.
Squeezing this in with me, and, we'll stay in contact for sure.
Yeah.
And if you're ever on the East Coast, I'll show you, I'll let you see what some good pizza is.
Awesome.
And if we're ever out in California, we can maybe link up there too.
There you go.
So
you can compare our pizza.
Absolutely.
And we'll see if it's any.
We'll have a battle.
Yeah.
We'll have a little battle.
Yeah.
If you want to see more On The Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On The Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.